Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 59, recorded on Thursday, 7th July 2011. Darren, I completely agree with you. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Well, hello and welcome to episode 59 of This Week in Lotus. I'm Stuart McIntyre, and as ever, I'm joined by my co-host, Darren Duke. Good morning, Darren.
Hello, Stuart. Hello, the world. Hello, America. It's an all-American episode today.
Apart from me. The imposter from the old world.
You don't count.
Thanks, mate. And how's your week been?
It's one of these super-duper short ones, because Monday over here was the day we all celebrate kicking you guys out, so to speak. When the English left, because there was too many mosquitoes. That's what I tell the Americans.
That sounds almost like you qualify yourself as an American now.
I'm coming to the slow realization that after it was 15 years last week that I moved here.
Wow.
So as I said on Twitter, all these ERs. As I said on Twitter, I guess that probably means I've officially emigrated.
I think so. After all this time. Well, of course, we were all lazing around on Monday too. Just a user group or two over here, so it's somewhat different in London. But it was, it's been a good week, very busy, but lots of interesting customer discussions going on. So maybe we can bring some of those up as we go through. We're joined by a couple of folks that are new to This Week in Lotus this week. First of all, we have John Head from PSC. Hi there, John.
Good morning, good afternoon to everybody.
Yeah, good afternoon to you. How's your week been, John?
As Darren said, it's been short. I took a lot of time off in June, so July is about getting back to work. So,
excellent. Do you want to tell us what you do for PSC?
Yep. So my official title is a Director of Enterprise Collaboration, which is a fancy way of not saying salesperson on my business card. So I've been at PSC for over 10 years, consulting, and now mostly in a business development role in all spaces. I think one of the things that makes PSC different than a lot of the well-known partners in the Lotus community is we are not a sole IBM practitioner. We are a 100-person, multiple-location company with very strong practices in IBM, Microsoft, and in a lot of the SOA enterprise spaces, and we, and a lot of the other collaboration stuff like Salesforce. So my job is out there selling and evangelizing PSC and everything we do.
Excellent. Of course, you speak at Lotusphere and plenty of other events besides.
Yeah, the speaking is, for me, has always been it's an excuse to hang out with my friends in the early days. I think you guys know what I mean by that. But now it's turned into probably the best sales tool ever.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today. I know we've been trying to line this up for a little while, so great that you could join us on the episode. Thank you. And we also have Jonathan Greep as well. Hi there, Jonathan.
Hey, Stuart. How are you? Hello.
I'm very good, thank you. And this is once again one of those episodes where I should have asked you how to pronounce your surname first. So did I get it right?
That's right. Greep is correct. It's counterintuitive, actually.
Mark it on the calendar, Darren. I got
first
one right.
Time ever. Oh, my God.
And Jonathan, do you want to tell us who you work for and what you do?
I'm president of JPG Consulting. We're a consulting company, basically develops software for different organizations. When we first started in 97, been a Lotus Notes user since 95. We recently transitioned over to developing our own products and selling those on a website we call notesconnectors.com.
Excellent. And we're going to come back to that topic a little bit later on. But thank you ever so much for joining us today, Jonathan. It's good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you.
So we're going to kick off this week, as usual, with our topics of interest and discussion. And let's start with IBM Champions. Now, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago with Joyce and Luis Benitez as well. We're honoured to be joined by an IBM champion in John Head today. John, do you want to talk us through? Were you at Pack Lug when this was announced?
I was not. Okay. I heard it. I was actually in Orlando at the time, and I heard it via basically direct messages on Twitter. So,
excellent. Well, congratulations on winning it. I just wanted to have a talk about it. You know, 2 weeks on, is both you and I have probably digested what it means. Have you given any thought to if it's going to change anything in terms of your relationship with IBM or the way you interact with the community, or do you just see it as kind of validation of some of the work you've been doing over the last few years?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you said winning it, and I have to say I feel like it's more it's a service item. So my hope is that the IBM Champion program across brands becomes kind of the recognized Microsoft MVP like program, and I think it can be. Those take time, something like that takes time to mature and grow. I think the fact that it's 50 people in the world, I think it's special. I think, PSE, we're getting ready to do a press release, and we're going to do some things around it in the Chicago area. I don't know if it's a selling tool, I feel really proud. I've been doing stuff in the Lotus space since 93 when I started with AmiPro. So I think it's kind of recognition for years of service. It's kind of those I've been here so long, you put in a lot of effort here, have a token. I mean, and I'm not trying to belittle the program or IBM in any way, because I kind of feel the same way of all these other kinds of programs. I think the right question to say is, how do we feel about this program, say, post Lotusphere, right? When a lot of the recognition pieces come to fruition. I think that'll be a better time to what does this mean and how is it being used?
I think that's right. And Darren, of course, your other half, Lisa Duke, was also an IBM champion. Have you guys given any thought to how it will impact STS?
I've told her I want the keyboard. I don't think there's actually been – it's been one of them kind of hectic periods since that happened. We got a lot of user group stuff going on, and it was end of half, not just end of quarter, but end of half, which means the big software companies like VMware and IBM get even more uppity about their software deals. So I don't think anyone's had a time to kind of take a breath and see what it means. I thought it was funny about – John mentioned the press release, because I think the newsletter from STS just went out yesterday, the day before, and I think it was mentioned in our somewhat regular, somewhat not regular newsletter. So whether it's salesy, I don't know. I'm with John. I think the speaking and the blogging is the number one sales tool, because really in sales, it's all about getting over the barriers, and I think the speaking and the blogging do. I'm not sure if the IBM Champion Award kind of would be understood enough outside of a community to take that as what it is. It should do, but I'm not sure if it will yet.
And I think, Darren, what we're going to try is in Chicago, there's an online publication and actually a magazine that goes out every week called Crane's Chicago Business. And I know they have versions of that in other cities. And we're actually, and they have an awards, section. And we're actually submitting the press release to that, because it's not right. I guess to me, what I really like is it's not IBM Lotus Champions. It's IBM Champions. I think people will take some recognition of it, even if they're not in our community.
I'd certainly like that to be the case. I mean, I'm one of those folks that have been given this and haven't blogged about it, haven't really made too much about it, just because I've tried to let it kind of percolate through, because I'm not quite sure what impact it's going to have. I mean, it's tremendous. It's a huge honour to be given it, awarded it, however you want to phrase that. But it's kind of too early to know what impact it's going to have. As Darren was saying, I'm not sure it's a sales device, because you know, it doesn't really talk about the company. It talks about actually the stuff most of all we do in our spare time, I guess, you know, with the blogging and some of the events we do. You know, there are very few people that are paid to do that. That's something we do kind of voluntary. So it's going to be interesting to see whether it actually plays into any decisions that customers make between one partner or another or one consultant or another. And particularly actually for the customers that were given those awards, I'm thinking of Sharon Bellamy and Simon Vaughan, who are both, you know, my customers in the UK, how that's going to impact them. It's going to be interesting to see whether it makes any difference to them when it comes to, you know, annual pay reviews and, you know, and those kind of things, whether it actually makes a material difference to the way they do their jobs.
And I'm guessing you mean the pay raise, not a pay decrease, right?
Absolutely. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what comes of it. And Jonathan, sort of maybe slightly from the outside, did you hear about these awards being given out a couple of weeks ago?
I did, and it was really great to see so many people I respected on that list. And I have to say that, you know, if I had the choice of you know, seeking out somebody with knowledge in a particular area, I might start with that list first. So to me, I think, you know, kudos to you guys. I mean, it's great that you're on that list, and I think it's a great recognition to you within the community.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. You know, it'll certainly it's garnered quite a lot of attention, and it's great that people are aired and Joyce are making a very big deal of it. It'll be interesting to see how it moves forward. You know, as we get to the next set of award champions that are, you know, are generated, I think they're going to add some more at Lotusphere. I think that was what Joyce said.
That's what it sounded like, at least to me. It'll be interesting to see what the schedule is. I mean, I hope they sync up kind of what I'm going to call the renewal date, kind of, you know, what other programs do. Well, it's a term, right? I mean, for you have to not it's not just the club you get in, it's the club you maintain. So I hope they, you know, I hope they add people quickly, but I hope they, you know, they don't have like, you know, 10 groups that we all have to maintain when people are and aren't champions.
Well, I think the idea was to sync it up with Lotusphere, but they didn't want to wait 6 months to get it out there, right? So you guys are all 18-month champions, I think, yeah? Isn't that what it was?
Yes, that's certainly what Joyce said on the podcast. So, but I think they don't want to wait 18 months until they award the next set, and therefore there may be more than 50 for a little while they have the two sets running. So yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that and what kind of profile the IBM champions get over time. Now, Jonathan, we've invited you on as much as anything because of the work you do with your website, with the notes connectors. Do you want to talk us through some of the products that sit within your sort of portfolio and where they've come from in terms of your development?
Certainly. Thank you. Yeah, we develop what are called notes connectors. We basically connect notes or Domino to other systems. So in the past, we built a SharePoint search solution for a company, and you know we've done work with Symantec on their Enterprise Vault product. We're actually a Symantec Step partner, so we do customizations for companies that want to roll that product out. But the main focus I want to talk about today is our solution for Windows Search. If you're not familiar with Windows Search, it came out with actually as Windows Desktop Search originally as an add-in that you could put onto Windows XP. But with Vista and Windows 7, it's actually built into the product, so you don't have to install it. And it's a pretty slick thing. You can, on Windows 7, you can click the start button and just start typing a phrase and it'll start doing a search. And as you type more information you know, more of your query, it'll actually in real time update the list. So when, sort of interesting, when Google Instant came out, you know, the big hullabaloo about it, given that you know that those features were already sort of in Windows 7 as well. So what we've done is we've tried to leverage that product. Originally, Microsoft had a plugin which worked with Notes 5 and Notes 6. But the solution no longer worked with Note 7. In fact, if you use the original Microsoft plugin with Note 7 or later, it actually breaks Notes. So we sort of saw an opportunity and developed this this product called Easy Notes. And what it does is it'll automatically discover your local mail replicas and local archives and index them and make it available to Windows Search for queries. So it's very easy to install. It's a small client-side installation. And it currently only works with local replicas. So that's what we started with. And, you know, over time, we've gotten a lot of feedback from customers saying, oh, we'd like this feature, we'd like that feature. And so it's sort of grown, and we've added the ability to also index your names.nsf, your contacts, and then search them, and as well as any general notes application. In fact, we have a YouTube video on /notes connectors on YouTube.com, which shows the searching the Lotusphere sessions database that Ben from Geniusoft put together, and shows how you can search that using Windows Search, and it makes it very simple to query it and look for information. And then the nice thing is that we also support preview, so you can actually click on a search result and see a rendering of the item in the Windows Search preview window.
Okay, that's neat. That's kind of cool.
So it's pretty fast, and you know, you can actually navigate through your content pretty quickly using this, and it really sort of provides a nice update, we think, for the notes client. A lot of customers have gotten excited about it. You know, especially the preview features and some of the other things we've done to make it easy to use. We also index the attachments separately, so they show up as separate hits. So you can actually preview the attachment without having to, you know, do what you have to do currently in Notes. Basically, find the note, open the attachment, and look at it. You know, it's just kind of tedious. But with our product, it's very fast. So, this product, as I said, works with Windows 7, 32, and 64-bit. But we also support Windows XP. And I noticed a post from Stuart a week or so ago about the market share of the various operating systems, and you know, sort of an eye opener. And actually, it was sort of shows what actually we're finding is that, you know, a lot of our customers are still on XP. They all want to move to Windows 7, but they still have XP. And so we're working hard to actually enhance Windows XP version to improve you know, some of the rough edges on that product.
And Windows XP is 10 in September.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. You know, I think customers want to get rid of it, but, you know, it's just hard. There's so much to do, and you know, getting all the products qualified, and then, you know, as they find out about our solution, they're then qualifying that, and you know, so we have a number of qualifications going on with various customers that, you know, looking at rolling it out in Windows 7, but they all want to start with XP.
And Windows Search was the thing that replaced the irritating dog, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Only you, Stuart, would remember that.
That's
I mean, do you, Darren? Sorry. The dog.
it was the only thing worse than Clippy.
Those were pretty annoying.
So can I ask who's buying copies of your product? Is it typically corporates that are putting in for all or some of their users, or is it individuals buying it for their own workstations?
We've had both. The idea was that, you know, we would offer a trial version. So we have a 30-day trial version that you can download and try it out. And we've had, you know, a lot of people do that. And then they'll either turn around and, you know, request. What we're finding is it's mostly early adopters that that do that. They want to try it out, see what it does, see if it'll fit in their environment. But they can also then purchase the product, and we sell two different flavors. We sell a Mail and Archives only version, which is pretty cheap, and then a Mail Archives and Applications version, which is still pretty cheap, but you know, gives you the ability to index any database. And you have to get the Mail Archives and Applications version if you want to index your and search your contacts. So we do have the model's working pretty well. The early adopters can get the product, they can try it out, they can use it for a long time, and then you know, what we're finding is then they eventually request a quote for some sort of an enterprise level solution, and we sell those separately.
So let me pretend I'm still a technical guy and ask some questions. So did you guys create a namespace extension for Windows? Is that how you're doing this?
Wow, you are a technical guy.
You still keep your badge, John.
Yeah, thanks.
Yes, actually we did. So we have a it's actually native 32 and native on 64-bit namespace extension. So we extend the Windows shell. And then there's a few other pieces that you have to implement in order to make this work. But it's kind of tricky, and most of it's, you know, completely undocumented.
So then following that, we, for a client, actually built an Explorer add-in that got us a little bit of searching, and you're doing searching. So my question would be is your next step to do an Explorer add-in so that you can, you know, navigate a notes database through your tool?
That's not our immediate plans. I mean, we certainly thought about it, and you know, I don't really. It seems doable. Obviously, you've done it, so we're focused on other things. We like working on search, and there seems to be a lot to do in that space. I think if we did something else, you know, one thing we're considering doing is an add-in which lets you search across design templates, basically. So it would be focused on template developers. And, you know, you could quickly find elements because, I mean, I've tried to use the one in Eclipse, you know, and it just, you know, it almost seems like it's iterating through all the design elements doing a search. And so what this would do, you know, index those templates, and then you could quickly search them. And we'd also implement a preview. So, but that's farther out. We don't have that currently available.
I think for me, one of the great things I love about a product like this is you have two audiences. You have an audience of a notes customer who's got the client and they love it. But you also have the customer of somebody who's, you know, maybe they've decided that they don't want to use the rich client day to day and they want their users to use a natural interface. This helps that transition. And I think stuff like this is those bridge, you know, the things that bridge the gap. And I think there's going to be a lot of that in the next couple years. And I think that's a really, really good place for people to be in. So I think this is very cool. Nice job.
And IBM have not updated the full text search capability really in Notes since probably R4, maybe even R3. So it's kind of good to see new interfaces coming out that allow users to interact with what they would consider a quote unquote normal search tool as Google has trained the world. So, you know, I think it's a good idea, and it's, you know, it's reasonably cheap. I was out on the website yesterday checking it out, and, you know, it's some good stuff. I hazard a guess Lisa may be putting an order in.
And most folks will know I'm a Mac user, and I was just checking in Spotlight actually whether it does any searching of the Notes client, and it certainly doesn't seem to, at least on the version I'm running. And I can see a massive, advantage of having that if it was available, particularly as the inbuilt tools on the Mac have all that. You can search mail.app and iCal and the address book from there. So why shouldn't you be able to do the same of the Notes client? It would make perfect sense to do that.
Yeah, I had thought that there was an add-in already for the Mac, but and there it's certainly in the documentation. But then I was talking to some IBM folks at Lotusphere, and they seemed to indicate there were problems with it, or it seemed to work. So we would consider doing it, but it'd be a whole different thing.
Well, it's great. We'll have a link to your website in the show notes, and I recommend people do take a look. I think it could well help a number of users, particularly on corporate sites. And I think it's great that we're getting new ISVs coming through and coming up with innovative ideas around the Notes client and also Domino and other platforms in the Lotus portfolio. So thank you very much for the efforts you're making in that area. It's great.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So moving on to the next topic, John, I saw a blog post from you on this very topic, I think, in the last 24 hours or so, which is that there's news that IBM has lost an account at the University of Nebraska to Microsoft. I think they're moving their email off of Notes and Domino onto the Microsoft platform instead. And John, you blogged about it, as many other people have, in terms of where that or what that decision means maybe for other customers. Clearly, customers are making business decisions all the time in terms of prioritization and platform choice and so on. But maybe there's a bigger picture here that we can talk about in terms of what this might mean for some partners and also other customers in the academic space. Do you want to lead us on this one?
Sure. I think my post was mostly to get us off of the community off of the discussion of, oh my gosh, there was incentives given by Microsoft to help sweeten the deal. And my reason to change the discussion was because every company out there is doing incentives. IBM is doing them. Google's doing them. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're playing in an enterprise or even an SMB space, you're doing incentives. So the fact that Microsoft gave $250,000 of incentives to the University of Nebraska, so what? Let's move on. I think there's a couple things here. If you guys remember Lotusphere Idol 2009, we had the two university students and everybody was excited because there was young blood. Both of those guys from the University of Nebraska, from a program that IBM was sponsoring so that the university was doing research with Lotus technology. I don't know if that ends this, right? I mean, IBM was sponsoring the program. Could they still be sponsoring it? Sure. But I, it worries me that the attitude of IBM in a whole, I think it goes way above anybody we interact with at ICS or Lotus, whatever you want to call them, is that IBM doesn't want to play in the university education market right now when it comes to selling software.
IT snobbery.
And Nathan Freeman wrote a good comment on my blog this morning, it is this morning, my time, that basically says that IBM treats universities and enterprises as cathedrals, Google treats them as bazaars. And I think it's a great analogy, right? And
he's also right when he said someone at IBM has taken the decision to ignore that market. I think Nathan was spot on with that as well. I think this is a big corporate direction decision where they have chosen, irregardless of what it looks like on the battlefield, they have chosen not to fight this war.
And yet I would argue that in some areas they're making wins there. I deal mainly in the connections and social space, as many people will be aware, and that's winning big style in the UK. We're getting some significant universities moving to connections, particularly for their staff, but also for students. Things like Portal are doing very well in the sort of self-registration and self-service space. So it's not that IBM isn't winning business in universities, it's that they're not trying to attract the students, I think, to IBM. Maybe they're doing some of that to try and attract them as employees, but they're certainly not trying to attract them as future customers.
And I think what that says is there's a difference between an individual person's focus to get to their quota, right? Because that's what a salesperson does, versus a strategy of IBM at a top level or at a brand level. I know for a fact that University of Nebraska, IBM just didn't walk away. There's some factors there. If you go look at University of Nebraska, go look at who, you know, some of the people who have sponsored different, you know, schools there and donated money in the past 5 years. You'll see somebody from a certain company as part of that. You know, there's a lot of politics that are going on here. And I just think, though, that, you know, we as the community have to understand that, you know, this isn't fire and brimstone, but it's also, I think there's, you know, there's an attitude that's going on here. Right or wrong, I think there's a strategy where arm's length, we're not going to fight for the dollar mailboxes. If you want to, you know, if somebody wants to quote 99 cents a mailbox, great. See ya.
But the warning there is that's also what the U.S. car industry did 10 years ago. We're not building the cheap cars that people want to buy. We're building the big expensive cars, and then voila, 10 years later, they're all bankrupt. So, you know, there's got to be – while I agree with you, John, this is just the way business is done. This is you know, the fact it's $250,000 is neither here nor there. It's a drop in a bucket for all of these organizations. But if IBM choose not to play in this, then in 10 years they can't come back and say, like they did to Nathan a couple of months ago, where you should have told us this 10 years ago, and Nathan goes, yeah, I did, there's the post. So, you know, there's got to be some ownership by IBM of coming back here and saying, you know, while we are choosing to do this, we will also put up with whatever the outcome is 10, 15, even 2 years down the line. It needs to be some ownership here and not, you know, not then suddenly say, well, the world's changed and they're all against us and Microsoft hates us, so we're getting out of the market or whatever. They just need to be cognizant that their decisions now have some ramifications in the future which might affect their bottom line. It might not, but it might.
I'm just wondering, we're talking, it seems, you know, a little bit about education of students in terms of some of the development platforms, and we've discussed that previously on this podcast, but also in this case very much about email and messaging. I mean, is it partially at least a matter that Notes and Domino isn't a good fit for university email these days? You know, it tends to be a drive towards doing stuff on the web around, you know, minimum touch to desktops and laptops and that kind of thing, because mostly they're owned by the students themselves. Is it just that actually Notes and Domino doesn't fit as well as maybe Outlook and Exchange does or Gmail does in that kind of environment?
Well, the question then comes back is why, and I think Stuart, you're the one who wrote this, where's Lotus Live, right? Why is Lotus Live not part of the discussion? I would personally be surprised if any fraction of the students end up using Outlook in this case. I think it's, you know, it's Office 360 and it's going to be a web UI for 95% of the users. And then the people who end up using Outlook or any form of a rich client ends up being the teachers who are more our age and style of work. Why wasn't Lotus Live part of the discussion? Was it? My guess is yes, it was. It's just not being reported. I think there is a very much analyst bias of it's either, you know, Google or Microsoft when it comes to that space, and they're not even talking about Lotus Live. And we can have a long discussion on why there's that bias. We can throw blame on IBM for not getting, you know, enough analysts up on it. You know, there's a lot of stuff we can do here, but I think that's the reality. It's going to be interesting to see. Darren, I totally agree with you. I think there is a conscious decision and a repercussions that people are going to have to live with. The opposite side of that comment, though, is that if you look at all of these companies, IBM has been doing this right for 100 years, and they recreate themselves every 10 to 20 years. What says they can't do that again? You know, it's hard to bet against the company that started with typewriters and is now, you know, the IBM that we know. But
I think the interesting gamble here is IBM has almost always been in the lead. And on this, on the cloud and on education, they are really running from the back and not leading from the front, which I think is a difference from the previous 90 years. And I do agree with you. It would be hard to bet against IBM. They have some very smart people there, and there is some strategy behind them not not trying to play in this market or walking away from a deal. It just may or may not be a good idea, but in 10 years they can't come back and say in a blog post, well, you guys didn't tell us all this 10 years ago, when in actual fact we told you 20 years ago.
So let me, an interesting response to that is I've been with my family quite a bit the past month, and I was talking with my youngest sister and talking about some education stuff. And, you know, I asked just out of the blue, you know, how do you communicate? She says, yeah, well, we have these email accounts that we have to go check stuff teachers, but none of the students use that to communicate. We all use Facebook.
And that was the point Ed made, right? He's like, well, what's the point of getting all uppity about this? The last time this happened, whatever the last big university was it went. It's like the students don't use it. And that may well be true, but that does not come across in any of these press releases or articles in eWeek or wherever the hell it come from. And IBM just need to shout more about this. Or IBM just need to say, well, if they're not using it, here, have it. And just play the perception game.
No argument. I just think, you know, we all joke about being ASWs in the Lotus community, right? Yeah. You just net mentioned organizations which generate their revenue based on being ASWs. They have to write content that grabs people, that generates, you know, clicks.
I thought that was called marketing, but okay. Point taken.
And that kind of neatly segues us into one of the other discussions that's been going on a while, but kind of has reached a new level this week, which is around rebranding and loss of Lotus name and all that kind of thing. And we won't regurgitate a lot of the arguments that have gone on before, but the change that has happened is that Ed wrote a very long, very involved, and I thought very, very good blog post at the weekend called Whatever We Call It, Ed Brill. It says on edbrill.com, talking about kind of where he stands from a product manager point of view about Notes and Domino and where that sits within some of the rebranding discussions that have gone on. Darren, do you want to, you know, talk us through what were your thoughts about the post? Did you think Ed did a good job of summarizing where he is with it?
Yeah, I couldn't write a blog post that long. that's a lot of 140 character tweets right in there. He did a good job, and he outlined, I think, some of his frustrations with IBM, with the process that went on, with ourselves, with everybody else, and I think it's a fair assumption to make that, you know, I think IBM themselves are frustrated that we're making a mountain out of what they perceive to be a molehill, and it might be a molehill. It might not be a molehill. I tend to think that it's on the mountain side of that equation, just because of the way it looks. And you know, there was a couple of back and forths on Ed's blog. I haven't been back out there for a couple of days, but I see it's up to 80 comments or so now. But if they are not rebranding, yet they move all of the new shiny balls of tinfoil out into the IBM brand, but leave Notes and Domino inside of Lotus, I just think that smells a bit fishy. And that's my only worry. I think it looks bad, especially when on the blog he said, we move Connections and Same Time out because we've realized that the perception of Lotus is hard in new sales. Well, that also kind of makes it sound a lot like we don't expect that there were not a lot of net new revenue in the Notes Domino market. So why should we bother moving it? Which was the other thing I took away from, but I didn't actually comment on that. I just let that one alone, I think.
So Darren, my only comment back on that is, I mean, Notes is a fairly mature market and a marketplace. You know, it's kind of like Office. They're not looking for net new sales in the U.S. They're looking for renewals, right? They're looking in new markets for new sales. I think to me, whether you do rebrand or re-not, the future of Notes in terms of revenue is as they tie it together with Project Vulcan and they can sell functionality to other IBM products that leverage Notes that requires, you know, a license. I don't think anybody in the U.S. is expecting Notes and Office to generate lots of new net new revenue.
And I would agree with that. I didn't say that out loud. I left that to you. But I think then that leads to a somewhat defeatist prose, which is kind of ironic, me saying that out loud. Insofar as that this all drives in to the decision about, well, what now? What happens to Lotus Live and Lotus Live Notes? Is that, was that not supposed to be the rebirth and the sky is blue and the birds are singing and everything like that for Notes? And maybe IBM are coming to the realization that it's not, and maybe we all need to come to the realization it's not too.
So for me, IBM is best when it's, when it does middleware, right? I mean, the stuff we, most of us don't play in the MQ series space and a lot of that web sphere, and even the, you know, all the new stuff that they've got and all the other quote brands, but that's where they generate a crap ton of revenue. Yeah. To me, I think what they see is Notes becomes a place where we can build middleware for all of our other products, and that's where they see the real key of the technology. That's my gut.
But that then takes you very much into purely an enterprise corporate space, doesn't it? You know, I'm certainly not finding 100-person companies that are caring about middleware. You know, they'll typically go out and buy a solution or buy a software as a service offering. They won't be in the market for buying middleware. And I think probably even if it's the ISV that's providing the middleware integrated into the solution, I'm not sure they're going to be buying something that complex that needs that kind of middleware. So it kind of does force IBM into that higher end market where they've always kind of, you know, specialized and done best, I guess. But it does leave a vast proportion of the market that Notes and Domino has done well in, those smaller companies, you know, without an offering that really suits them, particularly around the collaboration space. So, I mean, I found interesting, just quickly on Lotus Live before we move on, is that I blogged a little bit earlier on the Lotus Live blog. There's a new term being used, IBM Online Collaboration, which is not something I've heard of before, which seems to be almost a new branding statement around Lotus Live, you know, Engage and Connections and so on, sitting in that, that new branding. So it sounds like we're going to have, you know, web experience being the portal and commerce and so on, online collaboration being, you know, Lotus Live, and what's the other one? Social business being all the connection side of things. So it sounds like IBM's really coming up with these new terms and going to use those for the go-to-market in the future.
And I think the watershed here is if there is a new X Pages only kind of server, what is it going to be called? And I think that'll tell us exactly what IBM see as the lifeblood of the quote-unquote X Pages slash Domino developer.
Yeah. Darren, I think we have to be careful there, because I think everything that I've read publicly says that it's an X Pages server for ISVs to use in bundle and solutions, right? I mean, that's what Ed's kind of talked about. I don't, you know, if that's what it is, I think they call it the, you know, whatever you want to call it, sell your solution, and oh, you happen to have a, you know, a Domino server running the X Pages server task underneath it. You know, I think what you're looking for is the what we all think is coming, which is an X Pages only server for customers to run apps.
Yes, I should say, yes, John is correct. The thing that Ed has talked about is basically a replacement for the Archaic utility server. The thing I was indicating is the oft talked about eyebrow raising, for want of a better word, X Pages server that basically becomes, I guess you could argue, a headless designer client as well, if they were to push the envelope. If that comes out, and I don't see that happening for a number of years, but if it does, it would be interesting to see where that falls in inside of all of this, because it does look to me like, obviously, Connections is the future as far as that piece goes. But are IBM going to morph Connections to be able to do the kind of situational applications that you can do easily in Notes and somewhat easily, but not easy in SharePoint? And is that where they're looking to leverage Connections in the future?
Well, I guess, you know, we should, for me, I don't hear IBMers or customers talking about a X Pages only server. I hear the bubble, right? The Lotus community, the whatever.
You're right there. Yes.
The 300 blogs and you know, 1,000 people who read them every day.
Oh, the 300, I like that visual. That's us, the vanguard, stacking up the bodies.
No, I mean, Planet Lotus is 333 blogs, right? And if you figure the reading is somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 a day, I mean, that's just my rough numbers. I think what we have to be – to me personally, if you asked me to put money down and bet, I don't think we see an XPages only server. I think we see an XPages task running on a WAS server, right? Because it's JSF. All they have to do is figure out how to make an NSF work on a WAS server, and XPages technically should be able to run. I mean, that's if you wanted me to bet where the next option would be, is I think we get that.
I didn't say anywhere in that conversation that the XPages only server would be Domino.
That's true. It's true. So what I find interesting as somebody who tries to stay out of this discussion as much as possible is, number one, the IBM community call that happened a couple of weeks ago was the biggest train wreck I've ever seen. Right. And it was a train wreck because it was open to anybody who wanted to join, because it was on Joyce's community call, which I love, but it allowed people who, you know, like to write thought-provoking entries on the web to attend and to take screenshots. Right. But it's also a discussion that my guess is most of the people that we interact with at IBM have no ability to affect the outcome. I think this branding discussion is so high up at IBM that the people that we want to tell us stuff probably don't know what's happening.
Nail meat head. He's exactly right.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to close that discussion really by thanking Ed for taking the time to write the blog post. I think it's incredibly valuable, whatever the discussions go on, when senior IBMers take the time out to write to the community, whether it's customers, business partners, ISVs that are reading those posts. I think it's really important that those conversations go on, and I think Ed leads the way in that. And I think whilst there are many, many IBMers that tweet on Twitter and so on in terms of kind of some of the marketing stuff that goes on, I think Ed really does, you know, get involved in the discussion and the conversation. I think that's really valuable that he continues to do that. So something else that's been on the news threads this week has really been around Google+. Mostly people complaining they can't get invites. But this kind of came out of the blue. I know Google had talked about, I think it was Eric Schmidt, talked about how they kind of ceded ground to Facebook with some very bad decisions over the last 2 to 3 years. And then almost it seemed like the next day, maybe it was a week or so later, they then came out with Google+, as I say, out of the blue. Any thoughts? I think, John, you're on there now, aren't you? Any thoughts on Google+, whether it's going to make a big difference to people in this space?
So I don't think my reaction is going to be as entertaining as Darren's is. I think it's interesting. I think it's the Circle's way of organizing stuff is pretty impressive. The content stream to me feels more like friend feed than anything else, and there's a reason people stopped using friend feed. My question is this, is why would you release a competitor to Twitter and Facebook without an API? Why did they not wait to launch till they had the API ready?
Very interesting question.
My whole opinion of this is kind of like, whatever, I'll come back in a year and see if it's still around. But more importantly, I always say this about Google, and I've just summed it up in a tweet earlier this morning. And that is, people need to look at how Google do this stuff. You know, the immediate release it might not be production ready, but there's none of this, you know, preview stuff. We'll build it up for a year and a half and still not release it. We'll just throw it out there, and then we will use jealousy and peer pressure to drive adoption. And there's nothing like that. We've all been to high school. We all know what it's like to be not the cool kid. And Google, a genius at making people use, to all intents and purposes, shit that they already have somewhere else. They did it with Yahoo on the search. Admittedly, there were some other decisions there, but now they're trying to do it with Facebook. But honestly, this smacks a lot like of IBM and Microsoft classic battles of the past decades. It almost looks to me like Google are really, really worried that Facebook are slowly going to erode their 97% revenue stream that is search, because, you know, when you go and search for something, it's difficult to find exactly what you're looking for if you're going to buy something. And I think they're worried that the whole peer, I will tell you I bought some shoes, so you will go buy the same shoes from the same manufacturer. I think they're really scared of that. And I think they should be. But, you know, it's kind of a just trading blows. Facebook ad email, Google then add Facebook features. Now Facebook are integrating into Skype. So, you know, it's tit for tat. I'll come back in a year and see what's still alive.
I think there's a couple of points on that. One is in terms of the preview stuff, that's what they did with Wave, if you remember. They had that, what looked like a really fantastic demo that they did at Google I.O. Everybody watched that 2-hour-long session. It was, you know, a massive hit on the web. And then they then delivered and actually underwhelmed with the delivery that they offered to the beta customers. I think what they've done with this one is announced it much more out of the blue, and I think it's done them some favours, because although it may not be ready, people are expecting it to be ready because it's a brand new beta release. The other thing I think is that Facebook is a destination site. It's where many, you know, thousands of people around the world go to every day and spend time. I think what's different about the Google is if they really integrate Plus with everything they do. You know, if results from your network come up on your Google search, if, you know, it integrates with Google Talk, if on Gmail, that, you know, again, millions of people use, it comes up, you know, with some of your social stuff as well. I think it's a very different proposition from Facebook, although there's obviously a huge number of similarities. I think the other thing is that Facebook has already been shown to not be kind of business ready. It's business ready from a social media perspective in terms of selling my brand to consumers, but in terms of B2B, there's almost nothing that's of value in Facebook. I think Google Plus is going to be different.
Well, and it goes back to how the companies make money, right? Facebook are desperate to make money, and Google are desperate to make money in another way apart from advertising.
Well, so there's a couple things. Number one, it's another place to pimp my blog entries, right? Well, no. So all of us all four of us, you know, we use we're all about creating content and then getting that content into people's faces, right? And Stuart, you're the expert at it. Oh, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but I mean the amount you generate a significant amount of content, but it means nothing if people don't read it.
Have you seen how many children he's got? It's all his kids type.
So he uses Twitter and Facebook and Planet Lotus and sites to get those links into other people's hands. And Google Plus becomes another stream for that. I think that's the first thing all of us have to look at it is.
So question, when does that number of streams become the Mississippi and it's impossible to cross and it's impossible to hit them all and we start to see a thinning out of the quote-unquote streams? Because there's too many.
No argument there. And that's why for me, when I look at Google Plus and there's different, right? So right now the people in Google Plus are the digerati and the early adopters, right? If I'm going to get somebody, so let me give you an example of how I looked at Google Plus and why I think it has a long way to go. In June, Facebook became the tool that I used to communicate news of everything that was going on in my personal life. And what was amazing about it is my father had gone to his 50th high school reunion last October. He had joined Facebook and he had connected with about 50 of his high school mates on Facebook from the reunion. And they used Facebook to get people to the reunion that they couldn't find. When my father passed and I posted on his Facebook page, I had so many contacts and, you know, and people reaching out because of that. That is not possible on Google Plus today. Yeah. And that's the kind of engagement that people like on Facebook. But now take out Farmville, right? Take out the games, because there's a certain people who just use Facebook as a way not to work. But Facebook has become an engagement model of reaching people you haven't talked to. I found my best friend in grade school on Facebook this week because he read a post that somebody said something about my dad, right? That isn't going to happen on Google Plus today. It's Scoble posting videos, which he posts everywhere. He just happened to posting them on Google Plus first now.
So it's a tipping point conversation then, right? But again, it goes back to why did Google Wave fail? Why did email succeed? Why is Facebook so successful? And, you know, what percentage of the market – and then there's going to be a whole slew of tools now that add the ability to post the same crap to your different feeds. So all it ends up is I don't need a Facebook account to see everything, because anytime someone posts something to Facebook, it comes to Twitter for me. And this is my kind of pet peeve with all of this, is I'm not antisocial. I just don't have time, like John said, to go to all of these different places to check stuff out. And as maybe a final point, one of Lisa's friends has always said, networking is only one letter away from not working.
That's good.
And I think it's going to have to come to you, isn't it, Darren? Rather than you having to go to five different places, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and the others, I think they've got to come to you. And I think that's the next thing that's happening. And actually, Google Plus, I think, are doing this very well, considering how early they are in their adoption model, is that it's going to be mobile devices that do that for you. Is that, you know, what happens on these sites is going to come to your notifications on your Android or your iOS or your, you know, Palm device or whatever, and that's then how you interact with them, rather than you again having to think it's a different thing in your workflow to go to one of those sites and look up your friends or whatever. It's all going to come to you, and I think that's going to be the key difference.
Well, for me, I think what Google Plus is, it becomes the baseball bat that forces sites like Twitter and Facebook to totally accelerate their mobile app strategy.
Yep.
Right. The fact that Google can launch a site and launch an app on Android the same day has to scare Facebook, who doesn't have a native iPad app yet.
Didn't they also do like two upgrades the same day to that Android app?
Yep. I think if, you know, we all talk about how, you know, Microsoft forces IBM to move faster or move differently, I think Google Plus becomes the tool that moves other sites faster. And for me, like, Google Buzz was a fail. And the reason why is when I went to Google Buzz, all I saw were people's Twitter streams that got imported. Right?
Or people talking about Google Buzz. Yeah, they were talking about Google Buzz on Google Buzz, and that's what we're seeing with Google Plus as well, is mostly people talking about how they can use Google Plus, and that's the post you see on there. And you have to get past that tipping point, as Darren said.
Yep, and for a Hangout, okay, so I've had Skype group chat for a long time. You know, the fact that Hangout is free, maybe it changes Skype's business model a little bit, but I don't know. I haven't gotten anything that forces me to go to Google Plus first thing in the morning when I wake up, like I do Twitter, my email, and Facebook.
And that's probably a good point to leave it. We'll see when that happens and report back too. So as always, we finish off the episode with a discussion of tips. These are ideas that may help you, the listener, in your daily life. So Darren, do you want to kick us off? What's your tip?
Lugs, and more lugs. I think we've got, STS has one coming up in almost every state in the real southeast of the United States, which I would include, I think, is Alabama in July, there's Tennessee, Nashville on the August, and then Atlanta is also in August, I think. Did I get that right? Well, it's on the STS page. It's in the show notes. I think we've got one in pretty much every state that surrounds us except Florida, but Florida's really like New York anyway, so it's not really south.
In what way is it like New York?
It's full of, they're full of people from New York. You go down there.
It is.
No one from. I don't think there's anyone. If you go south of Orlando, you're not going to meet a native Floridian.
Yeah, the joke, Stuart, is that Florida is full of Mickey Mouse and New Yorkers.
Very true. Okay.
And English people.
It's a sick. Sounds like something to avoid. Okay, and John, what's your tip?
So I have a couple. First is, of course, IMLUG and Midwest Lug. You guys have talked about both of them. PSC is a sponsor. I'm speaking at both, both my session with David Vai on the Notes Domino application competitive advantage, and Lee's Gura guy is doing his health check session. But two really non-Lotus-related tips. The first one is a product called Tiles from Starduck. Stardock, it's kind of like a task manager that sits on your side that is categorized automatically. I love it. It's a PC only. Sorry, Stuart, but and it's free. And then the other one is I can't stand that the movie companies have decided my Blu-rays shouldn't play on my computer, so everybody should own any DVD HD, which basically bypasses all the protection rules and lets you play a Blu-ray on any computer with a Blu-ray player.
So does that let you watch them live, or do you have to rip them using that?
Oh, it lets you watch them live, which is what
Excellent.
I... For $50 a year, it's basically the best tool I've ever used.
Wonderful. And actually, for Mac users on that very topic, it has been impossible to watch Blu-rays at all on Macs up till now. And a third-party ISV has just released a tool that lets you watch them live in the same way as John's just mentioned on the PC. So I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes too. And Jonathan, do you have a tip for us?
Yes, we have a 30-day free trial available on our website, notesconnectors.com. And you can try the Windows XP or the Windows 7 versions, 32 or 64-bit. Give it a shot and see if you like it.
Excellent. Thank you. And can you give us a link? We'll make sure that's in the show notes for listeners too.
Yes, we will. Sure.
Okay, and my tip for this week is, many partners like us spend an awful lot of time on Lotus Live meetings, not just with IBM, but with customers and partners as well. And there's been a Lotus Live meetings app for the iPhone out for a year or so, but they've taken a while to update it for the iPad, but there is now a new app. It's not the same one. You have to download it separately from the App Store, but it's for the iPad. It runs native on the iPad, full screen, has some additional features over the iPhone one in terms of being able to see attendees and that kind of thing much more easily. So there's a link in the show notes. There's also a blog post on the Lotus Live blog as well. It's free, even better, and I've really taken to using it kind of alongside my Mac. So yeah, it's pretty hard to watch a long conference on the computer whilst also doing useful work. So therefore, not that I would ever not pay attention on conference calls, obviously. So I'll have the iPad running with the Lotus Live meeting, and then be doing useful stuff on the Mac too.
So Stuart's just outed himself. Keep all Stuart meetings less than 10 minutes.
Less than that, preferably. Go on.
Does that also work with the web dialogue stuff, or is it just Lotus Live meetings?
I haven't tried it with the web dialogues. I know the iPhone one had problems, didn't it? It only really worked with the Lotus Live meeting, so I'd assume this will be the same, but maybe that's something we can try out this week.
So in honor of Darren, I will have my one complaint. Can we please get every single web meeting that we as a community have to partake with IBM on a single URL? Rant done.
Absolutely. And also make it so when you log into Lotus Live, it carries your username across into the meeting too. That's a good tip, and hopefully a minor rant from Mr. Head. Make a note for the guys that are in that department. So that brings us to the end of our episode. We're just over the hour, so we'll just go around the table one more time asking, how do people find you, track you down, get hold of you in the week ahead? So Darren, do you want to kick us off?
blog.darrenduke.net for all things technically related, and a somewhat quiet week on Twitter, Darren Duke, all one word, for my 140 character rants, of which Google Plus is the latest target.
Excellent, thank you, Darren. And John Head, do you want to tell us how do people get hold of you?
Yep, so johndavidhead.com is my blog, John Head on Twitter, typically John D. Head everywhere else, LinkedIn, Facebook, Skype, and jhead@psc.group.com is email.
Wonderful. What's this email thing you talk about?
It's the way we actually make money.
Excellent, John. Great to have you on the podcast at last after a year and a bit of doing these things. Hopefully we can have you back on again sometime soon.
Thanks for having me.
Great. And also, Jonathan, how do people track you down?
Email jgreep@jgreep.com. We have a Twitter at Notes Connectors. Also a blog, notesconnectors.blogspot.com.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking part. And I advise people to go and have a look at the website for your products too. They look really great. So thank you for being involved today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, and I'm Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter @StuartMcIntyre, and the company is Collaboration Matters. The website is collaborationmatters.com. So thank you for joining us today on This Week in Lotus. Till next week, bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
How you doing, Darren?
I am doing amazing. Except there is a leaking toilet on my floor, and it's constantly flushing, so I may have to go to the bathroom like every 2.5 minutes.
As long as we can't hear it on here, I don't mind.
I need to go and get a plastic bottle.
God, that's a rough voice to hear first thing in the morning. I'm okay. It's a little early here, but I will get through it.
It's not Duffbert or Bruce Elgort time zone. Come on, dude. Soldier on.
Yeah. Well, they live in freaky Birkenstock land. That's not my problem.
See, I can be good, and not only that, but almost at the beginning of a podcast, I got upset talking about Clippy because that little asshole really used to drive me nuts. Knocking on the screen, it looks like you're writing a letter. It looks like you're resigning. It looks like you're writing the Prime Minister. It's like, get away from me, you piece of crap.
Plus, people got to see pictures of me as a kid and have blackmail.
I think that kind of thing you're best putting out yourself, though, aren't you? Better that you put it out and then other people find it through other routes.
Yes, I'm fully expecting, though, to Miller to use one of those pictures as my bio picture at IMLog on the main screen.
Oh, he should.
He will. That's not a should, it's a he will.